99, proceeded.
Redbird Sports Talk. Interviews and professional sports news all in one place.
Redbird's playing a lot on the outside. Open three for Poindexter. Got it.
The quarterback just couldn't figure out the passing game.
You're listening to Red Zone, only on 103.3 WZND. Blasting off in 3, 2, 1.
And we are back for another edition of Red Zone here on 103.3 WZND, the pulse of Redbird Nation. Another reminder that Red Zone is brought to you by Avantes. Welcome back to Red Zone. I'm Liam Lyons alongside Jaden Cohn and Connor Allen. A great week of ISU sports last week. Some were bad, some were good, but we got even more this week for you. And let's get things started off hot. Volleyball swept the opening series in their first tournament of the year at the Western Michigan tournament last weekend, where they won three games in Western Michigan. They beat DePaul, Western Michigan, and Oakland. Guys, great start to the year to volleyball.
You just said it, Liam. It's just a great momentum getting in, going into your opening tournament, coming away with three sweeps. This is the first time since 2010 that they're starting 3-0, and their just vibes are really good in that locker room right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great start to the season. I don't think anyone could have really seen them playing this well right out of the gate, considering your starting libero goes down in training camp before the year even starts, and the fact that they've played so well is really impressive.
And they won all three games with no wins from the other team. A great start to their year. And right now they are in the Iowa tournament over in Coralville, Iowa. That's hosted by the University of Iowa. They played their first game today versus Loyola Chicago. And Jaden, you saw a little bit on the stats. How'd that go for the Redbirds?
Yeah, so far in this game, it ended about an hour ago. They fell in five sets to the Ramblers, former NBC team. It was a tough match for them. They won the first two opening sets, and then in that third set, they were up 19-12 at some point in that third set. But the Ramblers came away with a 28-26 victory, and then in that fourth set, the Ramblers took that set, and in that final set, the Ramblers won 15-9. On the offensive end for the Redbirds, Ella Craigs did her job as one of the setters. She came away with 12 digs, so definitely improvements for her going forward.
Yeah, I mean, this is going to be a tough tournament for the Redbirds, no doubt. Both teams that they're going to be playing in the next couple days are 3-0 in Butler and Iowa. Obviously, that's going to change with Butler playing Iowa tonight, but these are teams that have come off of bad years last year, kind of similar to the Redbirds, where they didn't do as well as they wanted last season and have gotten off to great starts. So it's going to be a tough tournament. It's going to be a tournament that really tests where the Redbirds are at early on.
So Iowa, one of two teams the volleyball team will face in the coming weeks. This week they play Iowa tomorrow. And then next weekend, as we hinted in the last episode of Red Zone, ISU will be hosting the Linda Herman Volleyball Classic, which starts next Friday, our first volleyball broadcast of the year. All three from CEFQ Arena starting on next Friday versus Miami, Florida. That's going to be very exciting. And three tournaments start off your year. And the Redbirds can at least win a majority of these games. That means a lot heading into conference play and some of these bigger matchups.
And it's definitely something to say. These are not easy opponents. There are a lot of bigger Big Ten teams that they're going up and facing, your Iowas, your Ramblers. It's good experience for these non-conference schedule, and it definitely is something to say that you're getting up for these next few weeks getting into the conference play.
Yeah, so if you want more on the previous tournament for the Redbirds, that's actually up on WZND.com right now. Kason Shingofi, our beat reporter, wrote a story earlier this week detailing all of what happened in that series over in Kalamazoo. And let's move on over to soccer. Soccer earned their first two wins of the season last weekend, where they won last Thursday over Western Illinois 5-0, and then beat UT Martin on Sunday 1-0. Tonight, they play once again at home over against IU Indy. That game's kicking off in about an hour here. So far, Redbirds 2-3-1 on the year. What are we looking for in this game against IU Indy tonight?
I think definitely they need to keep their foot on the gas. They're coming off two strong shutout wins. Kaya Durkee is coming away with an NBC Defender of the Week award. So it's definitely something to credit to her. The defense has been strong. Two shutout wins, and you know, for Riley DeRose heading into her third season, it's definitely something to say. Get your offense in a gear, keep the defense alive, and you'll be in good shape.
Yeah, I mean, this is a really good chance for them to continue this winning streak. IU Indy 1-4 on the season, so they've gotten off to a rough start, and then you play Loyola later in the week, a team that has had a really good start to their season, being 3-1-1. So you have a really good chance to extend this winning streak, build up that momentum before you head into conference play. A game like this, especially home games, are going to be key to pick up some wins.
These early non-con games at home are huge. I mean, you just really get to really figure out your true identity for the team early on in the year. And when we were early talking with the soccer team, not a lot of hope. I mean, the team was struggling, 0-3, one loss on the year. We weren't sure if it was going to be a good year for soccer. And then last week, they changed the whole thing around, getting two wins, one at home and one over in Tennessee. And now you play a team that's having a bit rough start to the year in IU Indy. And now Loyola Chicago, as Connor mentioned, is a very good team for Sunday's matchup, also at home in Normal over at Adelaide Strait Field. And then you have Eastern Illinois the next week at home. So a lot of home matchups coming up in these next few weeks, I should say, for the Redbirds.
And these home matchups are going to be crucial for the Redbirds. Last season, they finished with a 6-10-4 record, only 3-4-3 in conference. So these early non-conference games, you definitely want to gear up and bring your best foot in order to get things going before a conference starts.
Yeah, and adding on to that, they were 3-5-1 at home last season. So the way that they played at home to start this season, it's a good sign of things to come, and it's a good sign that things are going in the right direction, and this team that's kind of been looked at as rebuilding the last couple seasons might be finally heading back towards being contenders in the MVC.
If you look at their stats right now, Chloe Klein and Rylan Law currently lead the team in goals with 2 apiece, and Elise DeShriver also has 1 on the year. So we'll see who's going to lead the offensive way for the Redbirds against IU Indy. Once again, that's at 7 o'clock tonight at Adelaide Strait Field. And for all things ISU soccer, you can refer to WZND.com, where Jack Polkow has two stories up already on the team, and we'll have a third later this week. Now, we can talk a little bit about golf. Recently, golf had their tournament over in, that was in, I believe it was Michigan. That was they finished 8th as a team. And another interesting fact from this tournament is TJ Barger finished with a Missouri Valley Conference Golfer of the Week. That's now his 6th Golfer of the Week honor. And if you look at the all-time stats for him, that's tied for 20th most in career honors in MVC history and 5th most against Illinois State golfers. And what a resume for TJ Barger early on this year.
And TJ Barger is just a guy that he's known to go out there. He's been here for a couple of years. He's known to go out there, bring his best effort, and that'll just make the team better overall.
Yeah, I'm excited about where this ISU men's golf team is at. They were 10th on day one of that tournament, and then they finished 8th. So it's a little bit of progress, and we saw this similar thing last season where they got off to a slow start as a team through the first couple tournaments and eventually rebounded to win the Missouri Valley Conference. So they're going to be back, and TJ Barger, he's going to be the leader on that team. He's going to be a big reason why they go all the way.
And some listeners out there may know the name TJ Barger because he attended Bloomington High School. So he's a Bloomington native, and he was one of the top rankers in Illinois. So it's definitely a treat for him playing for his hometown school.
So the men's golf team, their next tournament is Thursday, September 11, which starts over in Fort Collins Country Club in Colorado. As for the women's team, actually is at home this weekend. They play in the Redbird Invitational here in Normal. That starts on Sunday going to Monday. That'll be the first match for the women's team as a whole this year. And then next after that, they will be in Toledo, Ohio. So golf's starting to get in the swing of things here too. And I'll be really interested to see how this golf team for the women's side looks this year.
Yeah, I mean, I'm super excited about them as well. Both these teams won the Missouri Valley Conference last year, and they won 3 out of their first 6 tournaments to start last season. So this is a team that got off to an amazing start, and they did not let up. They continued to play incredibly well throughout the season. So I'm excited to see where they're at. New coach this year, a lot of new faces on that team. It's going to be an exciting year for Illinois State golf, and a lot of fans should be looking forward to that for sure.
And you just mentioned how the women's team is coming off an MVC championship. We can't forget to mention that the men's is coming off an MVC championship as well. So ISU, the golf programs definitely are in the right direction, looking to defend that title. However, for the women's team, they are losing a lot of talent. They lost one of their grad students named Jingyoung Yoon, who did fantastic for them and won a bunch of MVC Honors of the Week. So she graduated, but we look to new faces for this golf team.
Yeah, the golf team will also be covered all year on WZND.com. That's Nathan Sehag. He'll have stories out for you nearly every week, as much as he can. Those are already up on the website. And last but certainly not least, let's talk a little bit about cross country. They recently had their Illini Invite tournament that was last weekend. Both the men's and women's team placed fourth, and that's a great start to your year, heading over to Champaign and making a name for yourself over there.
Yeah, going against in-state rival, finishing like that is really impressive. We didn't really know what this cross-country team was going to be like. They were a bit of a wild card last season, were very up and down in terms of their individual performances and their standing as a team. So that's a really good sign. And now you head into next week where you host your own tournament here in Normal. So that's definitely got to be a good sign for things to come for the Redbirds.
And going off of that, Connor, it's definitely momentum to build off of. You go into a foreign Big Ten school, get to test the waters a little bit, and then you get to come home, host your own invitational, and just have home ground advantage and hopefully up the rankings.
Yeah, they have a lot of graduations and transfers on this team, so it's definitely going to be kind of a trial year for both the men's and women's side on cross country. But as we mentioned, they already finished fourth in their first invite of the year, and that sets a standard going forward for this tournament at ISU next weekend, and then they'll be going on in the Gons Creek Classic in Columbia, Missouri, later on in September. So cross country, a very exciting season coming up. Get to see who is some of these new runners and for new identity, really, for this team.
Yeah, see, I'm super excited for, honestly, all the sports that we've touched on today. Like, golf's in a great spot. Cross country is going to be in a really good spot. I'm super excited.
And just overall going off of that, all the sports in general, we'll touch on men's and women's basketball sort of later in episodes. We have football, volleyball. It's all sort of coming together for ISU, and it's a good place to be for ISU athletics.
It really is. I mean, now we're in the fall winter sports, but as you know, all year we cover in ISU sports, not only on this show, but on the website and also tons of our broadcasts. But we're going to have a little bit more ISU sports as we go on the road. We'll preview the show for as we go on. We'll have ISU football, a little bit of college football, some high school football, get a little shout out to them. And then later on the show, we'll start off our first edition of the 2025 Pick Six with our new guest on in a little bit. But I'm really excited for Redbird sports this weekend. We've got ISU football on Saturday, soccer tonight. We've got a lot of things coming up. I just can't wait for ISU basketball, too. It's going to be a fun year for them, especially that the non-conference schedule announced for both men's and women's now. It's going to be huge.
It's definitely going to be really big. We could talk about this later in episodes, but football, you got a home game this week. Soccer, you just mentioned. It's just great vibes around here. They brought a lot of experienced players, both in football and basketball. So vibes are up. It's definitely a great time to be an ISU Redbird.
Yeah, I think you guys both put it perfectly. I mean, this program, the athletics department, it's on the upswing. Like, every team at this point seemingly has a really bright future ahead of them. Obviously, we look at the big ones. Basketball, football look really good. There's some minor sports as well that don't get as much coverage that are really off to good starts.
Yeah, every sport does need to deserve its own sort of recognition here at Illinois State, and they all are improving a lot. I mean, when I first came here a few years ago, I was not really excited for some of the sports, but they've definitely all improved. I mean, a lot of changes on the coaching side. They've gotten better recruits, and we're just going to have a very exciting year for you sports-wise on Red Zone. When we come back, we'll have ISU football. We're going to recap that Week 1 game versus Oklahoma, preview Morehead State, and also our thoughts on the ISU Redbird football team as a whole. But don't go anywhere. Listen to 103.3 WZND, the pulse of Redbird Nation. .3 WZND, the pulse of Redbird Nation. You're back on the Red Zone with Liam Lyons, Jayden Cohn, and Connor Allen. And guys, now it's time we talk some Redbird football. Last week, did not go as planned. A 35-3 loss to the Oklahoma Sooners over in Norman. But let's take away some positives from this game. I mean, seriously, not as bad as Iowa last year. And for those of you who are on the other side of things, they did cover, so there you go. We're not going to talk too much on that, but as the first quarter goes, I thought it was a really good first quarter for the Redbirds. I mean, they had some good rushes on the running side of things. They were getting some three and outs early from the Oklahoma Sooners, and really, Wenker's right, really impressed me in that first half.
Yeah, going off of that, they definitely put up a fight, especially we can look at the game last year from Iowa where that first half, they stuck with Iowa. Now they stuck in the first quarter with Oklahoma, had some good rushes like you mentioned. It's just towards the end of the game, you could definitely tell that wear and tear down. They're not used to playing those SEC defenses, and it's just they did the best they can.
That wear and tear Jayden Cohn is referring to is a few injuries that were suffered at the hands of the ISU Redbirds in that game. Tommy Rittenhouse went down. Then we had to see Beckham Pelham come in at running back. I mean, at quarterback. We saw some injuries to Mason King once again. He just got the injury bug. I feel awful. I mean, back-to-back years against an FBS opponent, you get injured. But luckily, it's not too bad. But there were some injuries on the defensive side of things. Oklahoma was just the better team in that game. We talked with Dave Myrick last week from the franchise. He harped on it. But 392 yards passing from John Mateer and three touchdowns, nothing you can really do to stop that.
And going off of that, Liam, Ty Niekamp, luckily he came back in the game, but he's one of their star linebackers. I saw him go down in that second half, along with a couple other faces, a couple of linemen. However, on the defensive side, they did have that pick off of Mateer. So the defense, the secondary, they got a job done, and they were able to stop Mateer once. But 392 passing yards, three touchdowns is definitely a stat you don't want to see in the box score.
Yeah, I didn't really know what to think about this defense coming into the year. A lot of new faces on the defense, a lot of new faces on the secondary especially. And then you have Shadwell Kuba in his first game picks off John Mateer, and then Jack Dwyer from his safety spot forces a fumble in the first half. I mean, that's really what you can ask for against an SEC team. And everyone you ask is going to say the Redbirds put up a great fight, because they did. I mean, they showed off a lot of toughness in that game, even though the scoreboard is not in their favor, not even close to being in their favor. It's still a really good loss. It's a productive loss, and it kind of sets you up for the rest of your season.
And we talk about Ty Niekamp a little bit. He had 10 total tackles in this game, leading the Redbirds on the defensive side of things with one recovered fumble. It was pretty good performance from him. Hopefully the wear and tear wears off in this week two matchup, I should say, against Morehead State. But let's stop with the positives. Let's get to the negative part of what happened in that game. We struggled on the passing side of things. A combined 32 passing yards between our quarterbacks, or 34, I should say, if you can count the two extra yards we got from Beckham Pelham at the end of that game. But yeah, it really was a struggle on the offensive side of things. Minus the run game, we were getting nothing going in the pass game versus the Sooners.
And it's definitely something to say that it's really tough going against that SEC defense. Dave Myrick touched on it last week about the improvement of this Oklahoma defensive line. They got to Rittenhouse a lot, and that's what caused his injury to fall down on his shoulder. I attended that press conference, SPAC's press conference on Tuesday, and he said that Rittenhouse started practicing again on Tuesday, and it's just a little bit better every day, and he's looking to start Rittenhouse on Saturday against Morehead State.
Yeah, I mean, that's the best thing you could be hearing, is that Tommy Rittenhouse didn't go down in what was essentially kind of a meaningless game. But yeah, like you said, I mean, the passing game obviously struggled. You're going against an SEC defense, like Jaden said. I thought the running game didn't look awful, especially considering Mason King goes down. You're depending on Victor Dawson and Winkers Wright. But overall, the offense was pretty slow, but you're going against an SEC team. The spread was 35 for a reason.
And another thing to note is SPAC did tell me that Mason King was eligible to play on Saturday against Oklahoma, but he didn't start him just because he's coming off of a knee injury and he wanted to just keep him healthy. It's a good thing to note, because you didn't want to make that injury further. So he's looking to make his return against Morehead State. King transferred from NIU back in 2023, and he's a former newcomer of the year. And he finished with 983 rushing yards, 14 touchdowns in his 2023 season with the Redbirds. So I think him in combination with Winkers Wright is definitely going to be a scary duo going forward.
Yeah, so let's talk a little bit about the positive. I mean, another positive really quick before we touch on Morehead State ISU is Coach Spack's veteran presence. I mean, you got the guys injured. You saw Rittenhouse wanting to go back in, but he made the right call, keeping him out. That's something that you know as you've been coaching for so long in this game. There's no need for you to rush out your starting quarterback against a team that started games already over. Oklahoma was the better team in this game. I mean, compare the receiving numbers. Their top receiver, Keontez Lewis, 9 catches for 119 yards and 2 touchdowns, while our leading receiver, Eddie Casper, had 1 catch for 10 yards. It's not a lot we can do on that side of things, but let's move on from the team that everyone kind of knew what was going to happen. Morehead State, this weekend in Normal at 6 o'clock, we'll be broadcasting the game at WZND starting at 5:50. Adam Tickler and Cole Skipper have the call. Cason Shingofi in the studio. Morehead State, a team that finished 7-5 last year, 5-3 in conference. They hail from the Pioneer League, and a team that barely beat Allen last week in their week one game, 38-31. We talked a little about in the prep, guys, this team's defense is going to be something to look out for against ISU, because Allen's quarterback, threw for almost 300 yards against them, and they had a really good day on the receiving end for Allen.
Yeah, I mean, a name to look out for on the defensive side for Moorhead is going to be junior linebacker John Purdy. He had 8 tackles in his debut game after he transferred in from Kentucky Wesleyan. They had 5 sacks as a team, so this is a defense that's going to be dangerous. You are going against Allen University, a D2 team, but still, that's something to look out for, especially considering that the ISU offensive line wasn't always the most stable, especially throughout the summer. There was a lot of questions going in, so that's definitely something to look out for if you're the Redbirds.
And it's something to note that you're returning to Hancock, and it's definitely going to be great vibes. Just your first home game of the 2025 season, you don't escape with any major injuries. You bring back Rittenhouse, you bring back Niekamp, you bring back King. So you have all your starters, and I think it'll be a great game against Moorhead.
And to add on to that, ISU is 15-1 in home openers, so they're in a good position to win this game. I've been saying it for a couple weeks, so I think this is going to be the closest game of their season. I think these are the two most evenly matched teams probably on the schedule for the Redbirds.
And just because Moorhead State finished 7-5 last year does not mean they're a bad football team. They had a lot of tough games last year. They were playing a really tough conference. I mean, my brother's school, St. Thomas, plays in every now and then. That's a tough team out there in the Pioneer League. Got Stetson over there. But, I mean, really, this game is going to come down to the injuries and who can stay healthy the longest, because ISU really was battle-tested week one. And I wonder if we are going to see Beckham Pellant at all in this game against Moorhead State, because we really don't know how good to go is Tommy Rittenhouse. And you don't want to risk anything too early. If you have to do the two-quarterback system, I think it could work. But you just got to be rely on those running backs a little bit heavier.
The only thing that I feel that SPAC would advise against going that two-quarterback route is last year he was battling between Rittenhouse and
Rubley was the
other guy from Kansas State. So they both had the talent, and then they sort of complemented each other on the passing side. Pellant, to me, from that Saturday game, he looked a little weak. His arm strength just wasn't there. He wasn't able to find his receivers. Maybe it was just that SEC defense, but he wasn't able to find his reads.
So once again, this is the blackout game at ISU on Saturday. You saw the football team handing out some merch on the quad today. That was pretty cool. 6:00 from Normal on Saturday, September 6th. And the broadcast here at WZND will start at 5:50 p.m. with Kason Shingofi in the studio, Adam Tickler, Cole Skipper on the call. Guys, final predictions really quick before we move on to some other college football. What's the final score for Saturday against Moorhead State?
I'm going to go with ISU 35, Moorhead State 14. I just think that's a
very bold
basic. I just think ISU sort of home court advantage there. It's sort of going to be like a revenge game against, since they weren't able to put up good numbers against Oklahoma, sort of take that steam, all the momentum they lost from last season and sort of enter this season, get that first win on the board and get things rolling here.
Yeah, I'm going to be kind of in the same boat as you. I'm going 31-17, Redbirds take the win. I think if you are able to bring that mental toughness, the toughness that the defense showed last week against Oklahoma into this game, I don't think you're going to have much of a problem. This Moorhead State offense is good, but I think if you're able to play at the level that you played at against Oklahoma for that first three quarters of the game, I think you're going to be in a perfect spot.
I'm going to go 35-21, and let me tell you this really quick. I'm going 21 because I can see at the end of the game, they can make a little push. They have an interesting offense over there. They run in Moorhead State. Got to watch them last year when they played my brother's team. I could definitely see some late score action from Moorhead. So I'm going 35-21 with that last touchdown from Moorhead happening late.
And I feel like ISU, especially when they're at home games, from the games that I've watched and covered, I just feel like the momentum and the atmosphere from the fans just kicks them into drive, and they're able to go out there and put up some points.
So once again, 6:00 Saturday at Normal, Illinois, Hancock Stadium. Now, briefly, let's talk some other college football we got going on this weekend. Not a lot of ranked matchups going on this weekend, but a little bit of a mini rivalry week. Iowa State, going to be a great game. Oklahoma, which we talked on last week, they're playing Michigan. That's actually the college game day game of the week, 15 versus 18. Oregon versus Oklahoma State, that's interesting. South Florida versus Florida, going for another ranked upset after they beat Boise State at home last weekend. And also, what the people down in Missouri call the game. Now, in the game, I think of Michigan versus Ohio State, but I guess the game is Kansas versus Missouri. That is also this weekend. So, guys, really quick, what game stands out to you from the games I just listed?
I really like that Iowa State-Iowa game. I just feel like Iowa State is pretty hot right now. They're coming off 2 straight wins. They got the win over in Ireland. I just feel like the big Big 12 and then the Big 10 matchup is just a great one. Iowa State, just it's a rivalry game, and I think it's a really important game for them.
Yeah, obviously I'm looking at the 15 versus 18 matchup, Michigan versus Oklahoma. That's going to be a big matchup because that's going to kind of define both those teams' seasons. They're teams that are coming into this one kind of unknown where they're going to finish this year. So Bryce Underwood, he looked good in week one against New Mexico. I'm looking to see what he can do against a much improved defense in Oklahoma. And we'll see if John Mateer can do what he did against the Redbirds in week one.
And I just really want to say really quickly, I mean, shout out Lee Corso. It's the end of an era. Last week was his last game day. The guy went 6-for-6 on his final picks. What a way to go out. Picked his first love, Ohio State, and they beat Texas. So what a great way to go out for a legend. It's going to be the first game day without Lee Corso, and it's definitely not going to feel the same, at least till midseason for me. That's a great guy right there.
He's just a legend. Anyone you talk to, bring up game day, you'll hear his name. The legendary pulling on the mascot head. It's just, I mean, I expected he was going to go with his first love of Ohio State. I also feel like he going with the defending national champs is the right idea, especially against Texas. But good man right there.
Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say that was a really tough pick, Texas versus Ohio State. And he picked right in his final pick, too, which is really cool. Not even just because Ohio State was the first team he ever picked, but he picked the right team in that case. So really good final pick for Lee Corso.
Yeah, once again, shout out Lee Corso. The game that's going to stick out to me on the ones that I listed earlier in this segment, I'm going to go with South Florida versus Florida. It's going to be interesting to see DJ Lagway versus a team that's pretty battle-tested so far in South Florida, trying to shock the world back-to-back weeks. And it would be awesome to do it in Gainesville, get another upset win, hopefully crack the top 25 next week. Kansas, Missouri is going to be awesome as well. And I also want to wish good luck to my brother as he plays Idaho this weekend over at St. Thomas. A lot of great college football this week. ISU will hopefully dominate Morehead State as they get ready for their game against Eastern Illinois next weekend, and then returning home for family weekend, September 20th, versus North Alabama. That's a great team in North Alabama as well. But when we come back, we'll have high school football for you. We'll have the preview of the five teams, how they're doing so far, and also an interview piece from our beat reporters Adam Tickler and Nick Thompson. But don't go anywhere. We'll be back with high school football on the Red Zone over on 103.3 WZND, the pulse of Redbird Nation. WZND, the pulse of Redbird Nation. Once again, back on the Red Zone, Liam Lyons, Jaden Cohn, and Connor Allen. And now, let's talk some high school football. High school football in the Bloomington-Normal region, to be exact. Now, earlier in the week, last week, we had our beat reporters Nick Thompson and Adam Tickler talk to Brody Walworth of U-High. And now this week, they got to talk to Bloomington's head coach, Niall Mulcahy. A big matchup heading up this week, and one of the rivalry matchups we'll preview in Bloomington versus U-High, that being at U-High, which is actually at Hancock Stadium tomorrow at 7 o'clock. And we have the interview for you here with Niall Mulcahy of Bloomington.
Okay, so the first question I have for you is, after coming off such a big one victory, what is like the message to you and your players to prepare them for next week's game?
Yeah, it's just finding areas in our game and places that we can fix and improve going into week two. It's far from a perfect game or the best football that we're able to play as a team, and just really focused on and honing in on areas of improvement that we need to make as we head into week two.
Yeah, kind of going off the U-High game, obviously they put up 70 points. What's kind of the message you're telling your guys, mainly the defense, to stay locked in and focused heading into this week?
Yeah, you know, U-High last year, and then showing that they're right back at it, has an incredibly impressive offense. Coach Walworth and his staff, as well as his players, do a great job of running that offense. They're high tempo. They're going to get on the ball and get the ball snapped, try and get into some different looks offensively, formationally, that they're going to try and confuse us and get us misaligned in our defense, and then take advantage of the fact that, you know, as they go, kind of try to get our defense on our heels. So, we talked about in our scouting meeting yesterday, it's just going to be really important that we communicate as a defense and are calling out what we're seeing, and just kind of ready to play against that tempo and, you know, throughout the week of practice, getting a feel for what that's going to look like and what that's going to feel like on Friday night.
Nice. And then another question I have for you, this The offense was very good last week against Danville. What is like the focus to keep the offense going for the rest of the season?
Yeah, you know, kind of like I talked about earlier, just continuing to find areas of improvement needed. I thought the offensive line played real well this last Friday night, so continuing to have those big boys up front run their feet and move people, and then Tay throwing the ball, just continue to make good decisions, distribute the ball to our athletes we have on the perimeter, and then Kevion and Brian keep hitting their holes and running hard like they did on Friday night. So I am happy with what we saw Friday, but know that offensively we've got room to grow and areas of improvement that we'll continue to focus on and get better on, hopefully, as the season goes.
Yeah, kind of going back how you said there's some stuff to work on, what's kind of like the main focus that you want to like focus on to like keep your team going throughout the year?
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, Friday night, a major area that we need to improve upon is kind of like, I guess I would say I'd categorize it as discipline. You know, you're penalized 10 times. And so that side of our game needs to be cleaned up, whether it's, you know, snap infractions, false starts, letting our hands get outside the body when we're blocking. Just cleaning up those little things that that can cost you in games if we're not cleaning it up going forward. You know, I already mentioned the communication side of things, continuing to talk as a group to each other, what we're seeing, you know, when we're able to recollect on the sideline, go over what we saw, what worked well, what changes and adjustments we need to make are going to be areas of continued improvement for us as a group as we get used to and more comfortable playing with each other in these game scenarios.
And then what's like would be your big key to success head into the week to get a victory?
Yeah, no, and kind of hit on some of them already. You know, UHI is a really good team, and like I mentioned, Coach Woolworth does a really good job over there, and his entire coaching staff does a good job. I think, you know, defensively, our keys are going to be, you know, trying to find a way to shut down number two, Kate Cunningham, absolute great football player over there. You know, they're trying to find ways to get him the ball, and just watching the film from Manuel, he was all over the field, dynamic playmaker for them. So trying to find ways to limit his impact on the game. And then like dealing with their tempo, how quickly they're going to be moving the ball and getting on the ball and snapping it and getting in different looks and being able to handle that. You know, defensively, they mix up their coverage packages. They send blitzers from different spaces all throughout the game. So, again, I think very similar to defensively needing to communicate. Offensively, we need to communicate and just be disciplined and do our job on both sides of the ball.
Nice. And then one more question I'd like to ask you. We know you were a former offensive lineman for Wesleyan, so what's something that you always tell your offensive lineman?
You know, just play with attitude. You know, play behind your pads. Be aggressive between the whistle. And then I say, my guys, knock the dude down, help him back up, and then go knock him down again the next play. You know, just getting after people up front.
Once again, that was Nick Thompson and Adam Tickler with Niall Mulcahy of Bloomington. And Bloomington plays UHI tomorrow at Hancock Stadium. That's one of the two rivalry matches we'll touch on in this segment. And we'll go a little bit week one recap for some of these teams. No, UHI got a big win week one where they beat Manuel 71-26 in their first game. Central Catholic won their first game against 21-14, and they're hosting Illinois Valley Central. Normal Community won 40-6 over Peoria Richwoods. Normal West beat Peoria Notre Dame 34-14. And Bloomington won 40-7 over Danville. So a lot of great wins in week one for these five teams. And let's start first, guys, with Bloomington versus UHI. Two very well-coached teams in Brody Walworth and Niall Mulcahy.
Yeah, going off of what you just mentioned, 40-7 is what the Purple Raiders is coming off of a win. So one thing that I picked up from that interview is they definitely need to clean the little things up when they go against UHI. And UHI is a team that's coming off of a 71-22 win, like you just mentioned. So they've been really good on the offensive side of the ball, but it's up to the Raiders to bring the defense and sort of shut down this electric Pioneer offense.
Yeah, we know as well that this game's going to be at Hancock Stadium, so it's a big rivalry game. There's going to be a good atmosphere in the building, and we know both these teams are going to come into this one playing good football off of big wins last week. It should be a really good matchup, and like you said, if Bloomington's able to fix some of the issues they had pre-snap with some of the penalties, they should be in a much better spot to pick up a win over UHigh.
As we mentioned in the last episode of Red Zone, all five of these teams in the Bloomington Normal area made the playoffs last year. UHigh was a semifinalist before almost making it to the 4A state championship, while Bloomington lost to Kankakee in the playoffs last year. That was a very tough game for them, but they're looking to bounce back this year. All teams up to a 1-0 start, but after this week, at least two of these four teams are going to be off to 1-1. It's going to be a very exciting matchup at Hancock Stadium, one of the two rivalry matchups we'll cover, and I think this one's going to be huge. As much as I want to say Bloomington, I think UHigh is going to take this one.
I feel like going with UHigh as well. They're going with a strong offensive performance last week, and I feel like Bloomington, yes, they're going to try to make the defensive adjustments, but I feel like UHigh is just that good of a team. They have the offense. They have the quarterback in Cade Cunningham, so they're just a phenomenal team right now. They're hot, and they're going to make the Bloomington Raiders worth their money.
Yeah, it's really hard to bet against a team who scores 71 points in week one. That's what UHigh did. So I'm going to go with Cade Cunningham, and I'm going to go with UHigh Pioneers.
Yeah, it's going to be a very interesting matchup. As we mentioned, UHigh in 4A, Bloomington in 6A, but both part of the same conference in the Big 12. As we move on to the next rivalry matchup we're going to talk about, we got Normal Community versus Normal West in the Chili Bowl. What a name for a rivalry, guys. I wish I had a rivalry like that back in high school. Back then, it was just like, our team versus your team, battle of whatever. But now we got the Chili Bowl, Normal Community versus Normal West. Both teams won their week one games. Normal Community, obviously the team that gets talked a lot more, but both of these teams are very well coached, and I think we're going to have a very exciting Chili Bowl tomorrow night.
And I remember my freshman year, my former roommate he graduated from a community high school. So it's that rivalry is they basically have to separate different stands. Like, you have one community on one side and then the West is on the other side, so they're battling out for it's bad blood. So it's definitely a great rivalry, and a lot of people in this town will definitely say that this is probably one of the biggest rivalries in the Normal area.
Yeah, it's gonna be an exciting matchup for sure. Normal Community is always really good at football. They won 40-6 last week, so this is always going to be a good matchup no matter what happens during that game, and it should be a fun one.
And you can touch on a little bit more about Normal Community, that it's almost like a farmer plant for IU2 football. We have the Niekamp brothers. They brought in a wide receiver as well. So a lot of familiar faces that come to play for the Redbirds here.
But I know that one thing's for certain in this game. Jason Drenguitz of Normal Community is going to bring a very tough game plan. This is a team that went toe-to-toe and almost beat Mount Carmel last year in the 7A playoffs. Mount Carmel, of course, would go on to win another state title. That's a team from back where I grew up. Great coach over there and Jordan Lynch. But Jason Drenguitz just looking to build on the success of last season. Same could be said for Normal West. They unfortunately lost to East St. Louis in the playoffs last year, but they had a little run beating Simeon in the playoffs. That was a good win for them. And I think that this is going to be a very tight matchup. I mean, seriously, Normal Community brings a lot of defensive power, but Normal West had some good offense in the later half of the year. Who's your pick in this one, guys?
I feel like I just got to go. It's going to be a great matchup, but I'm going to go with Community. I just feel like they have a little bit more of an edge to them, and it's going to be a great game overall.
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree with you. I'm going to go with Normal Community as well. Like you said, they're a team coming off of a really good game week one, and they've just kind of always produced good football players. Athletics-wise, they're in a great spot, so I'm going to go Community.
I'm also going to go Community as well. I feel like I've gotten to know Normal Community's coach, Jason Drenguitz, a little bit better in these last 2 years as a beat reporter. And I can just tell that there's a great culture down there for the Ironmen, and I think they're going to get the job done tomorrow night. And last but not least, let's talk about the last matchup of the Bloomington Normal teams, that being Bloomington Central Catholic. They won their first game against Danville 40-7 week one, and they're going to have a very interesting matchup against Illinois Valley Central on Friday.
And you can touch on a little bit from last year's matchup. Bloomington Central Catholic won 49-22 against Illinois Valley, so they definitely are coming off a win last year, so they, depending on if the players changed or not, they gotta look at the game tape and they'll be able to develop a game plan for them.
Yeah, this is a team that's in an interesting spot since they're the only private school in the area. Everyone else is public schools. Week one, like you mentioned, they get a win 21-14 over Paxton, Buckley, Loda. And last year, they lost to them by 1 point in overtime. So that's got to feel really good going in week one, knowing that you can beat a team you lost to last season. And in 23-24, they were 11-1. Last year, they ended up finishing 500 at 5-5. So the expectations are high for this team. Always being a private school, you know, the expectations are always going to be high in the athletics department. But I have full confidence that this team can hang around anybody in the area and any team down here in the South.
And going off of that, last season they just had some big monster wins. If you look at the schedule, besides the Illinois Valley Central game where they won 49-28, they had a 56-0 win over Rantoul, so, and a 42-7 win over Pontiac. So they've definitely got the edge, and I feel like it's going to be a great game.
It's going to be a great game. Head coach Kevin Brott over there for Bloomington Central Catholic definitely has a chip on their shoulder, them being the only private school in the area, and they're looking to have a great year. As you mentioned, 5-5 last year, lost to Tri-Valley in the playoffs, but looking to build on better success and getting a win on Friday night over Valley Central. I got them winning that game, and it's going to be a great week for Central Catholic and all these other teams in the area for high school football. When we come back, we will start our first edition of this year's Pick 6, talk a little bit on the MLB, and our guest, Colleen Holden, the NSOD of WZND, will be on the show over on the Red Zone. Don't go anywhere. Listen to 103.3 WZND, the pulse of Redbird Nation. WZND, the pulse of Redbird Nation. Here on the Red Zone, Liam Lyons, Jaden Cohn, and Connor Allen. Now joined alongside our first guest of the year in Colleen Holden. Colleen, welcome to the show. Welcome to Red Zone.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm looking forward to it.
It's going to be awesome. We're going to get things going right away. First off, let's talk some baseball. White Sox currently in rain delay versus the Twins. We don't got to talk about them, though. They are not good. I can talk about them. I'll talk about them later when I'm alone. But no, we got the Cardinals in action. Not today, but they've been doing kind of well so far this year. I mean, still in that, like we said last week, they're kind of in the fight spot. They're one game below 500, but they're still below Cincinnati in the standings. Meanwhile, the Cubs 80-60 on the year. They got some new additions for the Cubs and Aaron Civale and Carlos Santana. So the Cubs still looking, and they'll start their game tomorrow against the Nationals at 1:20.
Connor, I really want to get your thoughts on the bringing on Santana instead of signing Anthony Rizzo to a one-year contract where he can retire as a Cub.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting move. I don't really know how much moving or bringing in Carlos Santana really moves the needle for you, especially considering that he wasn't very good with the Cleveland Guardians, and that's why they cut him. It's an interesting move. It's obviously not going to bring in much fanfare. If you bring in Rizzo, you're going to sell a few more tickets than you did with Santana, but I don't really think either move would move the needle for you. Like, you're in a position where this is the team you have. You should have made more moves at the deadline if your goal was to really make a push. So it doesn't really do much for me, honestly.
And going back to Civale, he was decent, I remember, in
he played with the White Sox.
He played with the White Sox.
And then he was, where was he before that?
Milwaukee.
I couldn't really, I wouldn't really say he was decent in the White Sox, though. He was kind of middle of the pack. That's kind of why he's not on the team right now. The Cubs just needed another arm. I think that's why they took him.
Yeah. So I just remember he's okay before, and they just needed another arm to the bullpen. The other day, I believe it was yesterday, day before that, where they brought in Ben Brown, which I'm still not a Ben Brown believer, and he ruined the no-no that was going for them.
I mean, yeah, obviously Ben Brown, he's not in a good spot. I want to quickly touch on Cade Horton, who in the second half of the year, 47 innings pitch, ERA is under a 1 at a 0.7. His whip is at a 0.8, so he has been outstanding this season.
We'll have more baseball for you next week on Red Zone. But guys, been talking about it all day, been talking about it all week. We can finally talk NFL. It's time. 7:20, the Cowboys and Eagles get things started for us in a wonderful first week. And now we get started with Pick 6. Now we have six games we're going to talk about, and we'll have some new games every single week. But obviously this week, our six games are the Cowboys versus the Eagles, which is tonight in about a little bit less than half an hour. Chiefs versus Eagles, which is tomorrow night in Brazil. Then we got the Buccaneers versus the Falcons, another good matchup, as those teams were both in the fight for the division. Lions versus the Packers, Ravens versus Bills for Sunday Night Football, and then the Chicago Bears versus the Vikings. But before we get started with pick six, who thought it was a good idea to give the Bears a primetime game week one? I really hate it. I'm so mad, but it's okay. We're going to do good. We're going to beat the Vikings. We're going to beat J.J. McCarthy. But let's get things started, guys. Let's get things flowing. Cowboys-Eagles, week one, who are you picking?
I'm going to go with the defending NFL champions. Give me the Eagles. I really like Jalen Hurts. I really like A.J. Brown. I think those connection and that duo, it's just going to make some magic happen. And the Cowboys, when they lost Parsons, I don't believe they have a defensive presence that can fill that role for them.
Yeah, it's hard to bet against the Super Bowl champions. I got to go Eagles as well. I think they're going to be in a great spot with Saquon Barkley, Jalen Hurts leading that offense, and the defense also looks outstanding.
Yeah, I mean, great lines. Think of, like, my initial thought was the Eagles, too. I mean, it's kind of hard to beat, like, the champions.
Our faculty advisor, Steve, is going with the Eagles in this game, and I can pretty sure guess why he's going with the Eagles. For Eagles-Cowboys, I mean, this is an interesting matchup. Obviously, a very historic rivalry between these two teams. Cowboys just lost probably their best player on the team, minus Dak Prescott or CeeDee, in Micah Parsons. It's going to be hard to bounce back from that. Super, but now Kenny Clark is not a bad defensive player to get from that. He's just not an edge rusher. They don't really have an edge rusher to replace it. It's going to be hard to stop the Eagles' O-line. And Matt Eberflus, the D coordinator of the Cowboys now, if you're a Bears fan, you know that name very well, and you're probably groaning right now because Matt Eberflus cost us a lot of games. But now he's back to doing what he did before he was a head coach, running a defense. It's going to be hard to run a defense in your first game back as a D coordinator against the Philadelphia Eagles, the reigning champions. This is a team that has a lot of firepower on offense, a lot of weapons. Jalen Hurts, Saquon Barkley, A.J. Brown. I can go on for days. I'm going to the Eagles. It's very simple for me. I mean, as much as I want the Cowboys to put up a good fight, it's going to be hard. Really good defense for Philadelphia as well. It's going to be a very lopsided game, in my opinion.
I'm going to agree with you, Liam. I just feel like the Eagles, they just have great offensive power. They got a great line that can protect Hurts. And the Cowboys just aren't what they used to be back in the 90s, and they just haven't been. It's going to be Eagles by a million.
As much as Michael Irvin and Stephen A. and all these other Cowboys guys want to say that they're still in the glory days, they're really not. I mean, Dak Prescott is a great quarterback. CeeDee Lamb is a great receiver. But the rest of the team, not so great. They have to build, and Jerry Jones needs to stop being a cheap owner. It's just going to be hard for them to build back. But let's move on to a game that's going to happen tomorrow night over in Sao Paulo, Brazil. The Chiefs versus the Chargers, another division matchup. Chargers have a lot of good weapons in the receiving corps, bringing back Keenan Allen after he was let go by the Bears. The Chiefs looking to get back to the promised land after the whole Taylor Swift, Travis Kelce thing. I mean, that's the voodoo magic's going to begin tomorrow in Brazil. But seriously, guys, what's your predictions for tomorrow in Brazil?
I'm going to go with the Chargers. I think the Chiefs are in a position where this is probably the weakest team they've had in a while. I understand they kind of find that luck whenever they need to, but I'm going with the Chargers. I think Jim Harbaugh is going to have this team in such a good position. The defense looks outstanding. Give me the Chargers.
I'm going to go. It's such a tough matchup. I've been thinking about it all day, but I just feel like the Chiefs might have that little edge to them. And yes, you can say what you want about Patrick Mahomes being fantastic and all the NFL announcers just glazing them on the air, but I just feel like the Chiefs are gonna be back and bring all that energy that they haven't had in a couple seasons, and it'll be a good one.
I'm kind of in the same boat with you, Jaden. I was thinking about this a lot today, and I was originally gonna say the Chargers, but then I was thinking about it, like, they haven't had the best preseason, but they also probably aren't starting their best players for preseason stuff, and I think that, like, history kind of shows you that they're going to be able to pull this out.
So Steve is also going with the Chiefs in this one, and as much as I want to say the Chargers, I'm going to go the Chiefs as well. I think that this is going to be a very good game, but you already know how any game with the Kansas City goes. I'm not going to talk too much about the refs, but I actually think that this team's actually going to play pretty well tomorrow. I mean, they have a great offense with Pacheco, Kelce, and Rashee Rice being suspended, but you still got Juju Smith-Schuster, you got Xavier Worthy, a lot of weapons on the outside for Patrick Mahomes. And the Chargers defense, they really are struggling. I mean, on paper, they have a lot of good names on that defense, but they got shredded by Kansas City last year, and I think it's going to continue tomorrow. Not in the U.S., but it's going to be on an international stage for the world to watch. That is tomorrow at 7 o'clock. And then first game of the Sunday slate, the Buccaneers versus the Falcons, that being in Atlanta. Now, the Atlanta Falcons, the last time they played the Buccaneers, it was kind of a different look. Kirk Cousins was still in there. Now Michael Penix gets the helm for the Atlanta Falcons, and Baker Mayfield coming off another division win with the Buccaneers, just building on success for a week one matchup, another division rival. And I'll start things off with this one quickly. I'm going Buccaneers. It's very simple. Baker Mayfield all day. Michael Penix unproven. Give me the Buccaneers.
I agree with you, Liam, 100,000,000%. I am a big Baker guy. Baker, he's just, especially stepping into that Buccaneer role, he just looked more comfortable. He has an actual offensive line. Instead, when he was back in Cleveland in his early days of his career, he was just rushing to throw the ball. But he has a good line. He has confidence. He's got weapons. Give him the Bucs.
I'm going with the Falcons. I think the Falcons' running game especially is going to be able to break through this Tampa Bay defense. This defensive line is not great, so give me the Falcons. Give me Bijan Robinson and the Falcons, actually.
I think I'm going to go with the Bucs as well. I mean, this isn't really a matchup that I have a whole lot of information about, but just kind of looking at preseason stuff, the Falcons weren't doing very well. Also, this has nothing to do with football, but, like, Falcons as an animal kind of freak me out.
Yeah, the Falcons... bird variety, a very killer instinct, but not so much on the football field. I think the Buccaneers are just going to handle this one. Steve is going with the Buccaneers as well for this matchup. As we move on to the later slate, the 325-425, you're not in the Midwest. That is the Lions versus the Packers. Now, the Lions-Packers, great matchups last year. Jared Goff has owned the Packers ever since he has been a Detroit Lion, and I think the Lions are just going to handle them pretty well tomorrow. Well, not tomorrow, Sunday, you know what I mean, in Lambeau, I think. Jared Goff gets the win.
And especially being, I'm going to say this now, especially being a Chicago Bears fan and in that NFC North division, I'm going to say I'm a fan of the Lions. I've been a fan, and I just feel like the last couple of years, especially when they had Ben Johnson and that great weapons, they've just been able to develop and sort of get out of that losing streak that I hope the Bears are able to do this season. And I feel like the Lions are just able to defend against Packers and Jordan Love.
Yeah, I'm a Bears fan. I'm not picking the Packers. We're going to go Lions. They're going to get the win at Lambeau Field.
This is actually the matchup that I've been most excited to talk about because there's no team I love more than the Detroit Lions. I'm sitting here wearing a Lions crew neck right now, and there's no team I hate more than the Packers. So I don't even look at stats. I'm just going with Lions, and I don't care.
Steve also goes with the Lions for that one. As we move on to Sunday Night Football, the Ravens versus the Bills, a very great playoff matchup last year. And everyone, if you're a Ravens fan, remembers the tragic Mark Andrews drop. But it's a new season on primetime, Sunday Night Football. You get to see Chris Collinsworth talk about Lamar Jackson. It's going to be awesome. I'm going to go with the Ravens in this one. I think Lamar Jackson gets a bounce back, gets his get back against the Buffalo Bills. And I just really think it's going to be a great day on the ground for the Ravens against Buffalo.
I'm super excited for this matchup. This is going to be a really exciting one. Two of the best quarterbacks in our game. I'm going to go with the Bills, though. I think Josh Allen and the Bills are going to be able to win this one, not even due to a drop ball by Mark Andrews. I think they're just going to flat out outplay this Baltimore team.
I think this game is definitely going to be a shootout out of all the matchups that we preview this week. I just feel like Lamar Jackson against Josh Allen, two top veteran quarterbacks in the league, but I just feel like the experience that Lamar Jackson has, it just, he, like Liam mentioned, he's going to have a comeback year, and I feel like the Ravens are definitely going to overpower. I mean, it'll be a shootout, but it'll be a close matchup. But give me the Ravens, and it'll be a great one.
I think I'm going with the Bills just because when I was doing some research to kind of see like what kind of seasons all these teams had last year, like the Bills just looked like they were a little bit stronger altogether.
And Steve goes with the Bills in this one. Before we get to our final matchup, Kelly, I just want to say I'm proud of you doing your research and stuff. Just not winging it. Did a good job. But
thank
we kind of got, we got to kind of fly through this last one, but we'll get it going. Monday Night Football, the Bears versus the Vikings. That one being at Soldier Field. Going to be a great day. Some chillier weather down in Chicago. And I'll just be quick in answers with this one. J.J. McCarthy, I don't know what he is as a starting quarterback. Give me the Bears.
Yeah, the T.J. Edwards and Jalen Johnson are both questionable for this game. As much as I want to pick the Bears as a Bears fan, I'm going to go with the Minnesota Vikings. Putting the Bears on primetime is really never a good idea.
You know, it usually takes a lot for me to root for the Bears because, I mean, you know, history. But after they beat the Chiefs in preseason, I have some money on them.
I'm going to go. We mentioned it. We're all Bears fans here, I expect, except for Colleen. But I'm going to go with the Bears. I just feel like McCarthy coming back from injury, he's just not going to be up to par, and I feel like the Bears are just going to come away in a Monday Night Football game.
And Steve, once more, going with what we've pretty much all along with the Bears. So that's our picks for Pick 6 this week, and we'll see next week how we're doing in the standings. Colleen, hopefully get things started right in the guest poll in the standings, and we'll see if who's going to be on the leaderboard come next week. Now, NFL's back, college football's back. It's going to be a great year. Great year to be a Redbird, great week to be a Chicago Bear, hopefully. Don't jinx it. But we'll be back next week. Colleen, once again, before we go, thank you so much for being on this episode of Red Zone.
Yeah, I had a blast.
It's been awesome having Colleen Holden on as a guest. Guys, it was awesome previewing ISU football. And also, good luck to all the high school football teams in the area this weekend. It's going to be a great matchup for all those teams. And when we come back next week, we'll preview next week for ISU football, a little bit more Pick 6. And we're back on the Red Zone starting next week. Once again, this episode of Red Zone is brought to you by Avanti's on 103.3 WZND, the pulse of Redbird Nation.
This has been Red Zone.
Robinson looking out, drives inside, going to find Mary Crofton for her first three of the day, and it's good.
Curry owned the league last year, and personal awards and numbers.
We'll take off with you next Thursday at 6. For now, you can listen to any past broadcasts on WZND.com. Touchdown in 3, 2, 1.
I agree, I'm good fun.